Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in Yahweh. Ha. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify Yahweh with me. Let us exalt his name together. He is worthy to be praised this great rising morning. I just love him. I appreciate him. I worship and I adore him. You can't make me doubt him. You know why? Because I know too much about him. He's been good to me over and over and over again. And I can't do anything but give him all the praise that he's worthy of. I'm grateful to the Father. Hallelujah. For all of you who decided to tune in on Crown Talking Drums Radio this day. I tell you, it's just a blessing to be alive. It's a blessing to have woke up one more time. Hallelujah. And we're able to give our Father some praise. And he's worthy of it. I thank you, yeah, for taking this time out in your schedule. It's early in the morning. I know it. I hope everybody didn't forget to move those clocks back. I'm thankful and grateful for that extra hour we got, that extra hour of rest and sleep. I tell you, some regions don't have to change their time. Some cities and states, and they don't have to mess with the time, but we're still in that time zone where we do. And right now, we just have to do what we have to do. It, whether you're listening right now, on a recorded broadcast, or you're listening live, I don't know. It may be the middle of the day or late at night for someone who's listening in. The live time right here where I'm located is about a couple of minutes after 7, and it's the first Sunday of November. I tell you, this year has just went right on by. Hallelujah. But it's a blessing that we're still here, you know, and I just want to take this time to welcome you for such a time as this, a radio broadcast. My name is Sarepta Cunningham, and I'm grateful to Elohim, hallelujah, the Most High, for granting me another opportunity and a willingness, hallelujah, to share of his goodness and his faithfulness in this space, in this season of time in my life. I'm just grateful for what he's doing. I'm grateful. I may not even know some of you who's on the line, but I'm grateful for what he's doing for you and in your life in this season and time. You know what? We can't take it for granted. I know I don't, that I get to encourage others. Not only am I encouraging others, but I'm encouraging myself. And that's just a blessing. Sometimes you don't know the words that's going to exactly come out of your mouth when you're encouraging others, when you're going about your day. You don't know exactly what you're going to say. That's why we have to pray before we leave our dwellings. Amen. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Hallelujah. To order our mouths and our tongues in what we should say and when we should be quiet and when we should open up our mouths. But you know what? It's just a blessing that we get the opportunity to encourage. Hallelujah. Others. Amen. Hallelujah. And his word, his truth, it never changes. It remains the same. That's what I love about that. Amen. Hallelujah. His truth, it elevates us. It brings the very life of the Father himself to the forefront. It's not about us. You know what? That word, it also cuts sin. Hallelujah. It cuts it. Hallelujah. To help get us in line, to line us up. Hallelujah. Anything that sin is keeping us bound and keeping us out of the will of the Father, keeping us walking in disobedience to his will and his way. Hallelujah. That's just sin. But this word will cut it up if we allow it to do what he sent it to do. The Father said his word will never return void. That means never. Hallelujah. Return void. It will be sent out to accomplish that what he pleases. Amen. I want his word to work in my life. I pray you do too. I tell you. I thank you. And I just want to speak ahead of time to those who may be connected in, who's already been, you know, chosen and called out and set apart to live the holy life that the Father has set those listening. Hallelujah. I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad you have that faith and you already believe in, hallelujah, in our Father, in God, our Father, hallelujah, in Elohim. You trusted in, believe that he sent his one and only Son, Yeshua, hallelujah, and we get to follow after his truth. Amen. With that word, we depend on him and we trust in him. Amen. But to those who may be listening in who may not have made, hallelujah, Yeshua your personal Savior, oh yes, you have the opportunity. The Father's arms are always open wide, even for those of us who already know him and we fall short. Amen. His arms are still open wide for us to come back to him quickly. Hallelujah. We need to be quick to repent when we mess up. But to those who haven't made that choice, I pray by the end of this encouraging word today, hallelujah, you will make that choice to make Yeshua, hallelujah, Messiah, your personal Savior. Come to trust and know our Heavenly Father. Amen. I just thank him. It's so much going on in this world. Amen. It's so much chaos and all chaotic and the wars and the rumors of wars. And we're in the middle of tests and trials. But you know what? We were told these things would be. Hallelujah. But then we were also told to be encouraged, to continue to keep fighting this good fight of faith. It is a good fight. I don't care what it might feel like sometimes when the Father's pruning us and taking off some mess that doesn't belong to us anyway. Hallelujah. He we're the branches. Amen. He's the vine. We're the branches. And we have to continue. If we want to stay connected, he's going to keep cutting some stuff off. Amen. And when we see it, we should want him to cut some stuff off. Amen. When we see what doesn't line up with his word. Amen. So I'm just grateful. This morning, I'm just grateful. Yeah, you keep hearing me say that because I am. I'm just so grateful, hallelujah, for what the Almighty is going to do today. And if you're hearing the sound of my voice, hallelujah, you get to take part in it. Amen. It's just a blessing, hallelujah, to have a faith and a belief in a Heavenly Father, hallelujah, who loves us with unconditional love. He'll never stop loving us. He'll never turn his back on us. And that's what I love about my Father. He's not like man. Hallelujah. Man would tell you he's going to do something or something, but they'll fail you. When I say man in that, I'm not just talking about the gender of a man. I mean man or woman. Hallelujah. Boy or girl. They may tell you they're going to do something and they may not come through. And guess what? If they don't have any integrity, they won't even come back and tell you, you know, something came up or this or that happened. They'll just leave you hanging. But you know what? Our Father, he never leaves us hanging. And that's what I love about him. Hallelujah. So has he seen fit? Amen. And as I'm led by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about his good news. Since there's so much bad news, we're going to talk about some good news that's designed to help us, that's designed to keep us walking in this path or on this journey called life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. His son, the savior of the world, Yeshua. Hallelujah. You may call him Jesus. I call him by his Hebrew name, Yeshua, who is the Messiah. Yes. He is the anointed one who was sent. Amen. And he's living on the inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. When he left, he sent back the Comforter. Hallelujah. To keep us, to lead us, to guide us every step of this journey. Amen. See, he has given us promises, and there's so many in this word, hallelujah, that he wants to encourage us with. And I'm just happy about that this morning. And I know one thing, if not one person is praying and interceding for me. I know that Yeshua is right now seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, ever making intercession for me. He's ever making intercession for you. Don't forget that. His word has already instructed that. He's given us so many promises. That's why it's up to us to get in this book. Don't just go to the local assemblies or the fellowships or whatever and just hear the preacher or the pastor preaching. You better get in some quality time of study, not just reading this word, but meditating on it day and night. Hallelujah. So you will be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, continuing to flourish for fruit, and I don't care what season you're in, hallelujah, in every season, hallelujah, in the dry season, you're still bringing forth some goodness, in the harvesting season, you're still bringing, and you're not getting all prideful and heady and high-minded about it. You know what? Our Father, He just loves us so much. He wants us to know all that He's written in these books, as much as we can get. He wants us to get it in us so we can give it to others. Amen. So I tell you, as we stated before, with all the things that's going on in the political arena, the governmental arena, you know, the violence, the gun violence, the wars, the rumors of wars, and all the mental instability, so much negativity. But if ever there was a time in this world today for kingdom encouragement through the living word of the Most High Elohim, hallelujah. If there ever was a time for effectual prayer, that time's now. So I hope you come with your spiritual ears to hear what the Father has to say to us today. I tell you, He's ready to speak. I want Him to speak to me. I pray you want Him to speak to you. I also pray you come with ears to hear. Hallelujah. I mean, eyes open to see what's really going on in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. I guess we have two ears. I guess He wanted me to repeat that one more time. We do have two ears, you know. Hallelujah. Two eyeballs too. Amen. But just thanking the Father this morning. Hallelujah. For what He's going to do. Hallelujah. I just ask that you continue to go forth and be the effective kingdom citizens that the Most High has anointed and appointed us to be. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this day. You didn't have to give us a brand new day, but You did. And we thank You. Thank You for what You're going to do and what You're going to allow to take place today. Hallelujah. We want to be prepared. And we thank You. We thank You for Your new mercies and Your new grace today that You've given unto us. We just can't take that for granted. Help us not to take it for granted. Hallelujah. Even that You woke us up and we were in our right state of mind. Yes. Clothed in our right mind. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. You didn't have to do it. Somebody woke up this morning and didn't know who they were. They woke up out of their mind. Someone's crazy. Someone's on they used to call it the eighth ward or the eighth floor, some in mental institution today, because their mind, they have lost their mind. Father, we thank You. Help us to keep our minds stayed intact. We don't take it for granted that today we have our right mind. We thank You that we even our senses are in operation. Help us not to take these things for granted. We can taste and smell and touch and see and feel. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. You are so good and You're so faithful. We praise You, Jehovah. You are our sole provider of everything that we are in need of. Spiritually, physically, financially, You are Jehovah. You supply all these things, and we thank You. Hallelujah. We thank You for Your grace. Hallelujah. Yes, where we get what we don't deserve. Your new mercies, not getting what we may deserve. Father, we just thank You. Hallelujah. As we go into Your word today, Heavenly Father, I ask with Your guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit that we're going to speak Your word to listening ears, those ears to those who have come to ready to be encouraged, ready to be, yes, elevated in You. Thank You, Father. You're welcome to take over and infiltrate this time in Your presence for such a time as this. We pray this prayer in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints, I just thank the Father. Hallelujah. He's always on time. You know, we seek him throughout the day and throughout the week and talking to him and hallelujah, walking about our day and hallelujah. I talk to him all the week long, you know, in reference to what he may want. And a lot of times he don't give me anything until the last minute. I don't know why he does me like that. And I'm not too happy with that, but that's just the way he does. I'm like, okay, Father, what you gonna do? Sometimes I guess I get frustrated with him, but he knows me just like he knows you. He made us. Amen. But then he dropped this word in my mind, and then he confirmed it because he allowed me to find a poem. I'm not a poem, but a writing. Amen. From Charles Swindoll. I don't know if you're familiar with him. I even had to look him up to see if he was still living. They call him Chuck Swindoll or Charles Swindoll was his name. It is his name because he's still living. He's 89 years young. And I just looked that up this morning to see if he was still living. I don't hear his name that much, but the word that the Father gave me was attitude. You know, as I went about this week, it was, you know, you're dealing with different people and their attitudes and their moods. And guess what? We have them too. We may be born again believers, but we have attitudes too. My. So when he said that, and as I was looking through an old book I had, this paper fell on the floor. I picked it up last night, and what did it say? Attitude. I said, what? Oh, my. So when I do a word search, and when I did my word search on attitude throughout the King James Version, when I wanted to do like some other lookups and cross references, and to know the Strong Concordance only relates to the King James Version Bible. So attitude didn't come up. So I looked at a couple of other translations, but attitude is really nothing but a mindset. You know, that's all it is. It's a state of mind or a disposition. And so I kind of, there was no dictionary. The word is not attitude. The word attitude is not in my dictionary that I normally use that pertains to Vine's dictionary. The word attitude was not in there. So I went to Webster's dictionary. And the definition that it came up with is the posture or bearing of a person, a state of mind, a disposition. Amen. And that's what attitude is. It's a state of mind. It's a, you know, some of the Greek words that I'm looking at when I went through mindset, because that controls our attitude, where our mindset is. It's a state of your mindset. Amen. So I'm going to read this poem. I mean, this quote. It is a quote. Amen. And the beginning quote, it says, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than success, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a ministry, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. End quote. That quote was by Charles Swindoll. I said, Father, you are so awesome that you would allow that to drop in the floor. And I pick it up. And what did I see? Attitude. See, I've been dealing with some attitudes of people this week, but we deal with them every day. But as I was just pondering over my week And what the Father wanted to encourage us with today, you know, he didn't give it to me again. Like I stated, until the last minute. And he's always doing. I said, Father, you have a sense of humor. You know, sometimes we want to study throughout the week if there's a message or something that you want. But he doesn't give me normally that opportunity. And I don't like that. I feel uncomfortable with that in my own, the way I'm made up. But I guess the Father said, I got you. And he gets me every time. He gives it to me every time. He's so faithful. That's why I love him so much. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. That's what I say. I think I said that at the beginning. If I didn't, it's something I say a lot anyway because I mean it. It's in my heart. Hallelujah. But we're going to talk about this attitude. Amen. See, we have to have an attitude of gratitude. I don't care what's going on in your life. You must keep an attitude of gratitude. This attitude that we have, as Charles Swindoll has said, it can break a company, a ministry, and a home. Think about that. If we have a stinking attitude because it comes from the mindset and how we think, we can corrupt some stuff. Because not only that, it'll start coming out of our mouth. You know, that mind, the way we're thinking, hallelujah, our thoughts, amen. So we have to mind a whole lot of things because it comes out in our attitude, what's going on in our thought process. Amen. It really does. It comes out in our attitude. Have you ever been told at times, why don't you mind your own business? Have you ever had to tell somebody that? Mind your own business. In other words, stay in your place. Why are you trying to get all up in my business? Mind your own business. See, the scripture even lets us know that we should not be busybodies in other people's matters. Not trying to figure out, find out what's going on. If an individual don't come to you and want to discuss something with you, you don't have no business trying to get all up in their business. You got enough mess going on in your own life that you need to get straight. Come on. I know I got a lot going on in my own life. I don't have time to be trying to figure out somebody else. I'm trying to go before the Father and make decisions in my own life that's going to be wise and that's going to put me above the game. Yes. Amen. This journey is a game. We own this journey called life. Amen. And we want the best. Because the Father wants the best for us. So we should want the best for ourselves and even those who we come in contact with. Amen. So the first passage of scripture, and as always, I don't know where we're going to go, where the Father's going to take us. I just want him to be right here as he is. Amen. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. Amen. 1 Peter. The fourth chapter. And if you don't have time to get there, if you got your notepad or your notebook or whatever, just jot down these passages and you can go back and go back to the beginning of the scripture because some of these I'm going to break into the middle of the verse or the middle of the chapter. But on this one, we're going to start at the first. And I'm just going to read a couple of the verses in 1 Peter 4. And I'm reading this out of the King James Version. I may kind of go to the Amplified on some of these because I just like the way it breaks it down. For as much then as Messiah hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, that same attitude. Come on. For he that suffereth in flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of Elohim. Now the scripture says, Jesus, it might say Christ, and it might say God. When it says Jesus, I say Yeshua. When it says Christ, I say Messiah. And when it says God, you'll hear me say Elohim. So I'm just reading the Hebrew. Well, Messiah is really the English verb name for Christ. But I'm just saying it for Christ. I'm saying Messiah. Amen. So we see here as Peter is talking here, that he's one of the apostles, you know, of Messiah. And he's letting us know he was talking then to amongst them. But he's talking to, this word is still for us today. So this was written over thousands of years ago. You know, the Old Testament over 2,000 years or so. And then this was over years less than that. So because we know this didn't get written until after when Yeshua came. He came teaching the Old Testament. That's what he came teaching to the Jews and to those who had set up their own traditions of man, which is still going on today. But when Yeshua came, he came preaching and teaching the law of his Father, the law and the commandments. Amen. That's what he came preaching. Amen. That's why they hated him and despised him so much. But here, Peter is saying, though we know how Messiah, how he suffered in his flesh. Amen. I like how the Amplified broke it down. So since Messiah suffered in the flesh for us, for you, arm yourself with the same thought and purpose, patiently to suffer rather than fail to please Elohim. See, we're going to go through some things. We're going to go through some tests and some trials. Just because we made Yeshua or accepted him as our personal Savior, come to trust in our Heavenly Father. Amen. The Almighty Elohim. Because we've come to and made him Yehovah, Lord. When you hear me say Yehovah, I'm replacing that for Lord. Made him Yehovah over every area of our life. Amen. Because we've done it, that doesn't mean, you know, it's going to be a bed of ease. He promised us in this word, or he tells us in this word, that we're going to deal with some stuff. And we're going to have to suffer some things. We're going to have to be tested and go through some things. But he also promised, through it all, he's going to be right there with us every step of the way. And if we want to please him, we don't want to fail him. Amen. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Messiah, is done with intentional sin. See, we don't sin on purpose. We don't go out here and just sin. Paul even reminds us that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, Elohim forbid. We don't just habitually sin. We don't practice sin. And you hear this thought being said or this statement being made so much. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not a sinner. I don't habitually go out and sin. I was a sinner, but I don't live a lifestyle of sinning. So that's not a true statement. But we've heard it through tradition, through the teaching, and they teach it across the pulpit. But it's not true. That's why we have to know what this book, what this Bible instructs us. Because if it's not here, it's not a true statement. It's not a true statement. Amen. We were saved from sin through the shed blood of Yeshua Messiah. Through his shed blood, it covered sin. And it covers sin. If we mess up, fall short, it's just up to us to be quick to repent. Amen. But when we're keeping our eyes on Messiah, he keeps us from making so many mistakes. Now, mind you, we're talking about attitude. In this attitude, we're only going to be able to have the right frame of attitude when we have the right frame in our mind. When our mind have been renewed. Amen. And get renewed daily. It's not a one-time thing. So for someone listening in, even those of us who've been on this walk for a while, you didn't just make that decision and live your life any kind of way. You've been bought. We've been bought with a price. That price that was paid was Yeshua Messiah. He endured. Hallelujah. On that tree, he hung on it for us. He took the stripes on his body for our healing. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Hallelujah. So if we mess up, we can be quick to go to him. He's already forgiven us. But we still have to go through those motions, the motion of asking for forgiveness. That's what David, he was mad. He messed up. He made a lot of mistakes. Oh, he did some terrible things. But one thing about him, he was quick to repent before Elohim. He fell before Father quickly. Hallelujah. I think that's why he earned that title. He was a man after the heart of the Father. Amen. Don't you want to be a man or a woman after the heart of the Father? Amen. You want to please him. You want to follow after his commands and his laws. Hallelujah. Yes, that has not changed. The Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like Yeshua Messiah, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They're one. Hallelujah. Nothing changes in this word. Amen. And we can't change it. So that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by his human appetite. This is the second verse of 1 Peter 4 in the Amplified. And desires, but he lives for what Elohim wills. See, we live for the will of our Father. We no longer live for our own will. That's what restructures our attitude. Amen. We have to understand that we're going to deal with some things and go through some things. But our attitude while we're in it, while we're dealing with it, while we're going through it, amen, is to please our Father and to do his will. I'm going to read that third verse. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, when they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. See, when you have made that change, you no longer walk the way the unbelievers do. Gentiles are nothing but heathens, those who's not following after the law. And see, that's why when Yeshua came, he came and wrecked what the Jewish, their Jewish law that they had set in place was going totally against the law and commandments of our Heavenly Father. Even those Ten Commandments that we still should be keeping today. That has not changed because Elohim has not changed. His methods, none of that has changed. His ways, none of that has changed. But we use certain pieces of scripture that we want to eisegete out of the book and say, well, because Paul said this, we're not supposed to do that. No, you have to know why it was written and why it was even stated. And some things Paul said, that was something he was saying. So we have to make sure, that's why it's imperative that we study the word. We're encouraged to study, to show ourselves approved unto Elohim, not man, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, when we don't do that, who are we deceiving? Ourselves. The word says that. Says you'll deceive yourself. I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to deceive yourself. Saints, people who are set apart of the Most High. Amen. I'm just here to encourage us and remind us of what the Father's word says and how he loves us so much. He wants us to get it right. He wants us to have the right attitude, not sometimes, but all the time. I'm going to even back up at 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, that third chapter, that entire chapter, Peter was talking to marriage. He was talking to husbands and wives. Amen. So he was continuing throughout that chapter, and I'm going to break in to, now my King James Version breaks it up to, it says Christian conduct in King James Version. But, you know, this is the conduct of any believer. But see, he was talking about marriages here. And and the final word he states here in that eighth verse, he says, finally, be you all of one mind. See, he's talking to husbands and wives. If you go back at the beginning of that chapter, finally, he's still talking to these husbands and wives, but he's talking to us. The Father loves even the relationship so much. Between a husband and wife, be ye all of one mind. having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. Amen. One thing I read, when I read this passage of scripture and when it had the attitude on it, I read it from, I think it was the, I can't remember what version that was. I think it was the the New Living Translation. And this is how it reads, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Isn't that something? Keep a humble attitude in that 8th verse. And then the Amplified says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, the same mind, united in spirit, sympathizing with one another, each other as brethren of one household. That's to let you know it's talking about as if you're living in the same house, husband and wife, you're dwelling with each other. Compassionate and courteous, tenderhearted and humble. See, having the right attitude. That's why I really like how Charles Swindoll, Pastor Charles Swindoll, broke down this attitude that he had given up, one of his quotes. Because your attitude, it can break a company, a ministry, or a home. So even right here, talking about marriage, your attitude has to stay right. We have to keep a humble attitude with one another. And we have to really, toward our brothers and sisters, period. We're going to get into some of those passages of scripture as well. We have to have humbleness of our mind. Amen. And because Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I even want to take us to some Old Testament passages of scripture. Oh, let's back up to First Chronicles, I tell you. You know, we mentioned David just a few minutes ago. And I didn't have anything marked, so I'm backing up to these passages. I just had it wrote down. Amen. Hallelujah. First Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. And I'm going to break into that 7th verse. Now, you can read this story about David when he was talking to his son, Solomon. He said, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of Jehovah, my Elohim. But the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. So see, David was preparing his son. He knew what he had done, that he wasn't going to be able to do it. But it was in his mindset, his understanding, his humble attitude that he had toward the things of the Most High. He wanted to build a house. He wanted to build a dwelling. He wanted to build a temple unto Jehovah. Hallelujah. He wanted it to be in honor of his name. That's where his heart was. That's where his mindset was. And then let's move on over to 1 Chronicles 28. Now, if you want to go back and read that story in its entirety a little more, I just wanted to give you that, hallelujah, the attitude that David had. He knew he had done wrong, and he had shed a lot of unlawful blood. Yes, he knew what he had done. He recognized, see, he had that heart after the Father. My. When I think about that, I just get all, filled up, because we have to have the heart after the Father. That's going to put our attitude in check. Not sometimes, but all the time. Amen. All the time. We need it all the time. So in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, amen, I want to go to the 9th verse. And thou, Solomon, my son, know that thou the Elohim of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Jehovah searches all hearts and understands all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of you. But if thou forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Isn't that powerful? That word still for us today. See, the Father, hallelujah, wants us to serve him with a perfect heart. This is what David is giving. Know my Father, the Father I serve, hallelujah, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, remember? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Know this. Know my Father. Have a heart to serve him, a perfect, an upright heart before him. Though we're not perfect individuals, when our heart is toward Father, to please him, to live for him, to follow after the Torah, his commandments, the Ten Commandments, his laws, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. All the things that we should be still celebrating are within those books. The feast, amen. But see, we turned it around. We're celebrating, and it's been taught throughout the churches, the pagan holidays. The pagan holidays. I was just reading about some of them last night in another book that I have. And it talks about, you know, observing the Sabbath, which is Saturday. Saturday is the Sabbath. Amen. And it's the seventh day. Hallelujah. So I was reading in there about the different pagan holidays, which I'm not going to go there because we stand with the attitude. That's probably another message. Amen. I want to stay in the vein where we are. Amen. But the Father wants us to continue to follow after his heart. Like I stated, though we're not perfect, amen, we're growing into perfection daily. This is a daily walk, a daily putting off, and a daily putting on. Amen. Casting off things that are not like the Father. Amen. Because we are being changed from the inside out. And it's not a one-time deal. It's not. Amen. That's what I love about our Father. He's so long-suffering with us that he's changing us. If we can look back over our lives and look back where we come from and how he started us on this journey, he's brought us, yes, from a mighty long way. But we still have a long way to go. We won't ever arrive until we hear. I'm living to hear, well done. I don't want to be going through the motions here and laying hands. Ooh, I had a dream last night. Yes. I laid hands on a family member and they was restored and healed to fullness. But he gave me something different about that. But I'm not going into that. But I don't want to be going through the motions of laying hands on the sick and they recovered and speaking a word of prophetic knowledge or wisdom and understanding to someone and praying and laying before and standing in the gap for others and get before him. And he say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. See, he knows our heart, that our inner being, the real us, our inward part of us, which reflects in our attitude outwardly. Oh, yes. When a situation comes up and catches us off guard, if some choice words come out of your mouth that don't come from the Father, guess what? You better get a check on your attitude. If someone says something to you and it stirs up something that's in you that you don't like and you get the cussing and a fussing and a something wrong, if your whole disposition changes, your attitude, you need to pay attention to that. The Father wants to fine tune that. There was one time in my life, though I would say I got saved when I was 15. I didn't have no direction in my life. And I believe I love the Father because I love going to the house of the Lord. I love going to the church. I love hearing about the goodness of Jesus. I loved it at a young age. So I gave my life and my heart. And I believed that he was the Son of God. And I truly believe I gave my heart at that point. But then I didn't have no direction. But I started learning, okay, you got to get in this book. Over a few years, some years later, after I made several mistakes, but I still had the love for the Father. I thank him that he didn't totally wipe my mind and my thought and my attitude toward him away. I could have got into some crazy stuff, had several opportunities to, but I wouldn't go there. I'm sure you can reflect back on your life. I don't know, some of you may be real young, and you, because this generation is different nowadays. But to some of us who's older, we can reflect and go back and see some things that we could have made some worse decisions than we did. But I'm just grateful that my attitude stayed, you know, right before the Father. When I would make a mistake, I would say, oh, I messed up again. I just kept messing up. But eventually, I got it together. Then I started messing up again. But then I got fully committed. I said, I'm tired of this. I can't keep going there, Father. I'm tired of this. Keep making these mistakes over and over. Same thing. He helps us. His love, his compassion, his long suffering. He suffers long with us. But then sometimes we're praying and interceding for a loved one or a family member, and we don't have no long. We want them to get, did we get it instantly? No, not always. Some things we may have immediately been changed in, but some things, it's taking some time. It's taking some years. But with some of us, we still have an attitude. And this week, I've been dealing with some people, one of my coworkers. Man, when I got to work on Tuesday, I was off Monday. But when I got to work on Tuesday, he's confessing believer. He was cussing and fussing. I mean, his whole day, he was slamming stuff. I was like, okay, now, brother, what's going on? I knew he was going to talk to me. I was like, I'm praying for you. That's what I kept. I said, I'm praying for you. But he never said anything. He knew. He was acting crap. By the end of the day, he didn't apologize, but I knew because he's done it before, but that was the first time I had seen him in that rare of a form. I said, Father, draw him to you. Let him, what he kept getting up while I said, draw him into your presence. I was praying for the brother. I was. His attitude was on another scale. He didn't apologize that day, but that Wednesday, he said, Sister, I want to apologize. My attitude was crazy yesterday. He didn't say my attitude. He said, I was in rare form yesterday. I said, yes, you were, brother. He said, but I appreciate your praise because I know you had me. You was drawing me to God. He said, you was drawing me to him. You was sending me to him. Amen. So see, that lets us know that our prayers are effective. We want to have effectual, fervent prayers. Hallelujah. For this time that we're in now. See, this world is chaotic. And some of God's people are being bamboozled. They haven't surrendered things over and made him Yahweh or Lord over those areas in their life. Someone may be listening to me right now. And in some areas you're still trying to hold on that you're trying to be Lord over. You better let Yahweh Lord it over it. Or you're going to keep suffering. You're going to keep going through the same thing. Amen. Just wanted to bring that out. It's all about this attitude. Now let's go back to, we may come back to the New Testament. I mean, to the Old Testament. Because I have some other scriptures as well. Amen. In the Old Testament. Let me see. Let us go on to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. For your word is true. And your word never returns back void. Yes. I said Acts, didn't I? I was still going to an Old Testament passage. Help me, Father. I'm all excited. His word does excite me as it's helping me at the same time. In Acts, the 20th chapter, and we're going to break into this. Amen. We're going to break into this one as well. Amen. I think this was Paul and the Ephesians here. Acts 20 and the 19th verse. And it says, serving Jehovah with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward Elohim and faith toward our Jehovah, Yeshua Messiah. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Then after he had gone through those distracts and had warned and consoled and urged and encouraged the brethren with much discourse, he came to Greece. So even Paul, he talked about how he had served Jehovah with all humility of mind. He had the right humility, the humbleness of his mind, the right attitude. Amen. He surrendered to what he had to do. He said they didn't want to hear what I had to say. The Jews didn't want to hear me. As I came, even reminding them of the laws, even reminding them of the commandments of Elohim. They didn't want to hear me. I even went to the houses. I went from house to house proclaiming the good news. See, there's no excuse for us. No excuse to have the right attitude, because here Paul is talking about how he was so ostracized, how he was so criticized, but he still did the will of the Father. Now see, that's what our desire is to do. Our hope is to do the will of the Father. That's what we talked about in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, doing the will of Elohim. That's what this journey is all about. And in doing that will, we're going to suffer some persecution. It's going to be some things we're going to go through. You know, some people thinking they're going through a persecution or a test just from a decision they made. Has nothing to do with what they're doing for the cause of Messiah. Let's not get it twisted. We're going to reap what we've sown. That's a natural law. In the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. Anybody, an unbeliever, is going to reap what they have sown. A believer is going to reap what they have sown. That's just a natural law of sowing and reaping. Amen. So if Paul, he talked about how he served with humility, with the right attitude, that's what we have to do too. Even in the distresses that come with it. Even in with people coming, we have to have that boldness that the Father has already given us through the Holy Spirit. That Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-filled boldness. He's on the inside of us. I have had to ask him to help me with some areas where I was a little timid in. Father, help me. Give me boldness in that area. I see I don't want to open my mouth about that. Help me. See, we have to go before him. That's what he wants. He helps us recognize our areas. Though in our weak areas, he is our strength. But when he tells us to speak and we keep our mouth shut, we're disobeying him. So I know if I've had to go to him and say, Father, I've had opportunity after opportunity to say something in that area, and I keep missing it. Help me. Give me boldness. Give me what I need to say. He said, here, I already told you, you open your mouth, I will speak to you. We have to do that. I know if I've had to do that many times, if you haven't, I'm just encouraging you to do that. When you fall into those situations or when you find yourself there and you are afraid, he hasn't given us that spirit. Let's keep going. Amen. Let's go to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Romans 8. And we're going to break into, like I said, you can read the entire chapter. You can go back. We're going to read here. This is just talking about our life being dwelling in the spirit realm. Amen. See, once we've accepted the Savior, he's living in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. We are learning to walk. We become that new creature. But it's a daily journey of learning to walk in the spirit, because this flesh will never get saved. And our flesh always wants to rule, but we can't let it. Let's start at that 5th chapter of Romans. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Elohim, for it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. I'm going to read that from the Amplified, those three verses. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purpose, and see, that's what attitude, it has a lot to do with our purpose, our intention, our understanding. That's what the attitude comes from. It comes from that, because our attitude reflects, as we stated, what's in the mind. It's our mindset. Amen. And because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purpose is hostile to Elohim, for it does not submit itself to Elohim's law. And indeed, it cannot. See, an unrenewed mind that's thinking things that are fleshly cannot appease the Father. It don't even want to follow the laws of the Father. Now, you have some believers that no, they should be following after the commandments and the laws of the Father. But in some areas, they make an excuse and say, no, I'm not going to do that one. Okay, well, you're just disobedient. You're still not following after the laws of Elohim in your mind, with your attitude. He still wants us to come up fully, total obedience. That's what he's calling for. Half obedience is just disobedient, period. Not following one of the laws, you might as well break them all. That's instructed to us. That's instructed to us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. See, the Father's not going to leave us alone. He loves us. He's married to us. We're in covenant with him if we truly accepted him and believed on him. He's going to constantly be on us. He's married to the backslider. And you know what a backslider is? That's anybody that goes outside of the will of the Father. You could be praising and shouting hallelujah every day, but if you're out of the will of the Father and you're not following after his divine will and order, you a backslider. You are a backslider. Sometimes we look at people that, you know, that's just totally just doing sin. We say, oh, they backslid. They was once saved and they just in a backslidden state. We that are already are, that's walking after the Father, can be in backslidden state too, to areas in our life. Amen. It's just the truth in it.
1 Corinthians 2, and we break it into this, verses 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. I was going to 1, verse 16. Okay. For who have known the mind of Jehovah that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. And Amplified said, for who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of Jehovah, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of, it says Christ, and then in parentheses it says the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. So see, when we have his mind, we have his heart. But in order to have his mind, we have to renew it daily. We have to renew this mind daily. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah. Hallelujah. We have the mind of Messiah. And because he's given us the mind, because we're renewing it every day, or we should be, right? That's part of what we're supposed to do. That's why I'm going to read, I'm going to go to Romans 12. And we know it talks about by the mercies of Elohim that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, meaning set apart, acceptable unto Elohim, which is a reasonable service. That's our intelligent service. That's part of our spiritual worship. That's the least we should do. That's what we should do. Look what he did for us. And that second verse says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let this world fashion and pattern our thoughts, our minds, to reflect our attitude. We shouldn't have an attitude of this world, a worldly attitude. We shouldn't. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. See, our mind must be renewed. That's the only way we're going to have that right attitude of gratitude. We're making choices every day. That's what Charles Swindoll said. It's a choice for us to choose what attitude we're going to take in situations, because some are going to come unexpectedly to us. But if we, whatever is in us is what's going to come out of us. If our mind is being renewed and it gets embedded and penetrates into our heart, our inner being, that word, that's why we have to meditate on it day and night, not just every now and again. That's the only way we're going to be able to guard our heart. We have to get this word in us. So when we react, hallelujah, because it says that 90% is how we react. 10% of what happens to you, but most of it, 90%, is how we react. That's a powerful statement. But see, we have this word to keep us in check. Not only keep us in check, but get us in check. Keep us in check when we want to be kept in check. I want to be kept in check with my attitude. Don't you? I think I heard yes. That's so important. Amen. Then I'm reminded of the passage of scripture in the book of Nehemiah. This is where this was supposed to come in, I guess. See, they had a lot of conspiracy going on. A lot of things were coming against them here. But Nehemiah had a set mind. In that sixth verse, Nehemiah 4:6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. See, regardless of all the conspiracies that were coming against Nehemiah to try to hinder him from building that wall, the people that he was leading had a mind to work. They had the right attitude. They had an understanding of the purpose that they were building that wall. They knew why. Amen. They knew it was a defense and a covering against the enemy. They had the mind to build. Mm. Isn't that something? You can read that in its entirety. That's a really good story. You can go back a couple of chapters in rebuilding that wall. Amen. Rebuilding that wall. And then when we go to 2 Corinthians, back to the New Testament, back to Corinthians, just the 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Mm. This is helping us. It's helping me. Thank you, Father. 2 Corinthians 13. Like I said, if you don't get there fast enough, just write it down. And that 11th verse says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the Elohim of love and peace shall be with you. So here we see that Paul, he knew his ending was coming. Amen. Hallelujah. He knew time was drawing near, and he was encouraging the brethren. Amen. He was talking about the love. Hallelujah. Yes. He was talking about that word. Hallelujah. But at the end, he was saying, be perfect. Be mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Amen. I want to read that in the Amplified. Finally, brethren, farewell, rejoice, be strengthened, perfected, completed, made what you ought to be. Ha. Made what you ought to be. Be encouraged and consoled and comforted. Be of the same agreeable mind, one with another. Live in peace. And then Elohim of love, who is of a source of affection, goodwill, love, and benevolence toward men, and the author of promoter of peace, will be with you. See, the Father wants us to be of one mind, come together. Can't we all just get along? You got the body of Messiah bickering. You got the different denominations, which is the tradition of man, really. One denomination believes this way. Another denomination believes that way. Oh, we don't believe that way. You might dunk. We might spring. I mean, come on. When it comes to back, we might dunk in water. You might sprinkle. All the differences. But the scripture's already given us the instruction. But man, they were setting up division even here. Even in the scriptures. Even over 2,000, thousands of years ago. Divisions were taking place when they were setting up all these different synagogues. And all these different variances. These different meeting places. They were mainly just meeting. And when Paul came, he was helping. When Messiah came, he was helping to set things in order. When he left, he had set apostles. That's why he was getting his disciples, who eventually became apostles. He was getting them trained, and sometimes they still weren't getting it. He would go, and when he went away and came back, he still had to teach them all over again. Paul didn't walk when he walked. Paul's teaching them what he learned of him, what he learned about him. He didn't actually walk with him. He didn't actually walk when Messiah was walking on earth. Isn't it something? But a lot of people want to put a lot of emphasis on Paul. He wasn't the Messiah. He was who Paul was talking about. That's what we need to put our emphasis on. Yeshua Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Jesus the Christ. That's the Hebrew word for Christ or Messiah. Hallelujah. It is a blessing for us to get understanding of what this word is instructing us in regard to our attitude, because we all have attitudes. Now, are we allowing that attitude to be lined up with scripture? And it's so many passages of scripture when you go to look at that mind, the mindset and the mind, because that's where our attitude comes from, what we think, our thoughts, and our understanding of things. Hmm. Philippians. Let's go to Philippians 2. About to wind it down. Hallelujah. We're going to start at the second verse. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but on every man also on the things of others. But every man, let's say that again, the fourth verse. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua. Isn't that something? See, we have to have that mind. Who Messiah was in the form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be equal with Elohim, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Isn't that something? And that cross was a tree that he hung on. See, Messiah came to serve. And see, a lot of times when we have bad attitudes, a lot of times we're looking at our own way of thinking about the situation. We're reacting in our own thought of how we think about the situation. So we act and retaliate in anger, in frustration. But that's why we keep being told here, have that mind of Messiah. He came to serve. And when he came to serve, he came to serve doing his Father's will. Now, he got angry. Just think about when they was exchanging and doing all the exchanging of the monies and doing it wrong in the temple, how they were doing it all evil and wrong, with wrong intent. He flipped them tables over. Now, his attitude was somewhat of anger, but he didn't see it. He just let them know, this is not what you do in this house. This is the house of prayer. You don't come up in here gambling. Mm-mm. See, the attitude, and we can have, and then yesterday, I was at Sabbath service. I was talking with one of the elders, my fellow brother, and his attitude just kept flickering, and I just kind of put him in check. And I said, sir, your disposition keep changing. I've seen this before. I had already seen it about him. But it was time to talk to him in love. He said, what you mean? I had to kind of put him in check with the attitude. And see, all this came back to me last night, just the different situations of attitudes that I dealt with and saw this week in my goings out and around different people that I'm familiar with or around. See, the scripture tells us not to know any man after the flesh, but to know him after the spirit. Therefore, when we know him after the spirit, when we see a fleshly situation come up, and it's something that we have dealt with and the Father kept us with, we can deal with them humbly. Humbly. Because of where we've been and how the Father has dealt with us in love and long-suffering. But then there comes a point when you see your brethren or your sister, friend, if that's a word, in some type of fault, or you just want to help them. Amen. So even in that, I pray that he was helped. Sometimes when we talk to people, Father says, word don't return back void. I was giving scripture, and I was talking in love. Says, word don't return back void. Anytime someone doesn't receive, if their attitude is kind of wrong or bad or whatever, they're in an area of pride. The Father can deal with that. If we've had areas or have any areas of pride where we looking at I in the situation, he got a way to deal with us because he hates pride. He said, a haughty spirit, a proud look come before a fall. The for destruction. He hates pride. That's why Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. He was prideful. Amen. My. But see, the Father wants us to be of one mind, on one accord, and come together. Be servant leaders in our attitude. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Attitude of gratitude. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture. You hear it stated all the time. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. See, our mind can be at perfect peace, even when a chaotic situation comes up unexpectedly. If our mind is at peace, our attitude is going to respond in a positive way, because it's dealing with our posture, our intellect, our disposition. That's what the mindset is. Our attitude is a state of mind, our disposition. We can respond in love. We can. I'm a witness of that. So many situations, and because I know how I would just go off on somebody back in the day, I would just tell you a piece of my mind back in the day. And I could do it mean without cussing. But the Father has taken that, and he's tuned it. It's still fine-tuning it. That same way that I was in my flesh, he's tuning it up in the spirit realm. And I'm not a respecter. He's no respecter person. He's not. He's done it and is doing it for me. He can and will do it for you. If there's any thought that you had, if anything came to mind with your attitude about anything that's not pleasing unto the Father. Trust ye, the fourth verse, trust ye in Jehovah forever. For in, it says Lord Jehovah, but it's Jehovah, is everlasting strength. See, J was never given as a written word. They broke it down in English, they put a J there, but it's always been a Y. It's always been a why. And so that's why I just use the why or say the why. Mm. So we have to commit ourselves to him, trust him, lean on him, confident hope in him. That perfect peace he'll give us because we're trusting in him. We're trusting in him. We're leaning on him. We're depending on him. We're committing our ways to him. Amplified says that third verse, you will guard him and keep him in perfect peace and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character. Wow. Our mind has character. Makes sense. Because the attitude that we have is action, our disposition, what's seen in us. See, we are to exemplify Messiah everywhere we go. As we're patterning our lives after his examples, his display, he displayed himself. He showed us how to carry ourselves in attitude, humbly. And at the same time, you don't let nobody get over on you. You can still do that humbly. We don't have to prove a point. Take what the word said. Stand your ground firm. I do it all the time. But he's taught me and is teaching me to do it. We can do it. Amen. Thank you, Father, for reminding us about our attitude. We don't want to have a stank attitude. We want to have an attitude that's bringing, hallelujah, a sweet smell of aroma and fragrance to your nostrils. Because we're representing you, Father. We're representing you by patterning our lives after the example Yeshua, who was you in the flesh, who he came to show us, to display himself for us. Thank you, Father, for helping us be that display, be that light that sits on a hill, cannot be hidden. That city of light sits on a city, a hill, a city. When you think about that light, a city light, when I think about the closest lights that you can see them from a distance sometime on the highway in Charlotte, those tall buildings, sometimes they change the color. So beautiful. That's the type of light we should be illuminating. Beautiful light. His light. Amen. Here's a love. 2 Timothy, another very familiar passage of scripture. We'll probably be closing out with this one. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy, come on. Passage of scripture. We're here. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For Elohim have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I like the way the Amplified breaks it down. For Elohim did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and falling fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. See, all that reflects out in our attitude. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Earlier, I stated there has been times when it was something I wouldn't confront. I would just go back and pray to the Father about it and ask him to give me the boldness. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us that spirit of power, love, and a sound mind where we're able to confront things with love, with boldness, with self-control and discipline, with an understanding of great intellect, with a loving disposition, not a harsh and frowning disposition. See, we can't change what we've done. Even Charles Swindoll said this. You can't change what you've done in the past, but you can change what's going on in the present. You can't change a person that's going to act toward you in a certain way, but you can change. You can change the way you're going to act. You can have your attitude in check. The scripture even tells us a soft answer turns away wrath. If someone coming with you arguing and all that, blah, 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 hey, you don't have to say nothing. You can just get quiet. You can change. And when they see that attitude, they're like, wait a minute, I can't get them stirred up no more. No, that's what it is. They should be coming. The enemy will come at you in so many ways, but he can't come at you that way no more. Because your attitude has changed. The Father's always changing and working on us from the inside out. That's what kind of work it is. So in this mindset, remember, we got to mind our own business. You got to mind your tongue. So you won't let it speak too haste, cruel, unkind, or wicked words. Come on. You got to mind your eyes. You got to pay attention to what you're looking at, what you're keeping your eyes on. Don't be looking at no wickedness, pictures and wickedness, just wickedness, anything that's not of the Father. You got to mind our ears. Because, see, these things are going to our ear gate and our eye gate. That plays with what our mind is thinking and what comes out in our attitude. Come on. Don't listen to wickedness, wicked speeches, wicked words. Now, I don't have time for that. If someone want to argue, I don't have time for that. Mind your lips. In other words, guard what's coming out. Ask the Father to put a watch over your mouth and keep the door of your lips. That's one of my prayers almost every day. I try to pray it every day, but almost every day. Amen. Our hands. We have to pay attention and mind where our hands go. Our feet. Don't let your feet, don't let them walk in wicked steps. And first and foremost, most of all, your heart. Mind your heart. Mind. Because the mind is our very active, the most active part of us, our mind, our thoughts. They resonate in our mind, in our thoughts. From the brain, that's where we are. So our heart is connected there. All these connections control the tongue, the eyes, the lips, our hands, our feet. We can't love sin, so we won't dwell in it. We can't love wrongdoing, anything that's outside of the will of the Father. We can't. We can't give in to that devil. So the best thing for us to do is just ask Messiah to be on the throne in those areas of our lives where we still got on the throne or letting reign on the throne in our lives and we know it's not pleasing to the Father. Help us, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Your word that continues to help us and keep us. Your word that will never change or return back void. Can't say that enough. Yeshua even instructed the disciples. He's even instructing us today. Matthew, I think it's 22. I think Mark mentions it too, 12:30, but Matthew 22. And I'm going to close out with this. I have this written down as well. And he replied, Matthew 22:37, the great commandment. Thou shalt love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Amen. We have to love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. That's a blessing. Amen. I pray today that you are able to take a check on your attitude and that you will be able, more open to put a check on your attitude in the future, even on today. We don't know what's going to take place on today. The Father already knows. We don't know what might catch us off guard on today. But we have this word and you can go back and meditate and do a word search online and you will find any passages of scripture that will help you. I speak Jehovah's blessing and his shalom peace over you. Today, the beginning of another week, and tomorrow, I pray that he continues to cover you and keep you with the right attitude. Hallelujah. Giving you his shalom, which is his peace. Amen. I speak it to you and your family. I love you with the love of Jehovah. And there's nothing you can do. Amen. Go in his peace, his joy, and his love. Blessings unto you. Amen.